Hello and welcome to show 1946, the November 13th, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk about animal news, animal rights, and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. Today we have a guest in studio, and that is local animal activist Jackson Payden Moore, organizer of the local chapter of the international animal rights group Anonymous for the Voiceless, which is known in particular for a particular form of outreach called a Cube of Truth. According to the event description, the Cube of Truth is a peaceful, static demonstration akin to an art performance. By way of introduction, here's a clip about a Cube of Truth from the group Their Turn. That's a video animal advocacy group. This video covers an event from last year, a Cube event from last year, where 500 animal rights activists took to the streets of San Francisco to participate in a massive Cube of Truth. You'll hear the voices of animal rights activists Chase Avior, James Aspey, as well as CNN and Headline News investigative journalist Jane Velez Mitchell. You'll hear James Aspey. He's the dude with the Australian accent. Here we go.
Here with Anonymous for the Voiceless, and we've got six giant cubes with 500 activists here.
The TV isn't showing the truth about the horrors in factory farms, the institutionalized sadism. That's why these people are coming out with their computers and showing it.
It's people like you and I who have been deceived into thinking that animals are treated humanely at a slaughterhouse. But we're here to help people who've been lied to as well, to learn that they can be much healthier, live longer lives by eating a plant-based diet, and also ethically it's just the right thing to do.
99% of these people are against animal cruelty. They're good to their dogs and their cats, and if they saw somebody hurting an animal, they would intervene on that animal's behalf.
The people here are very receptive. They're not making fun or ridiculing. They're like, tell me more. That's a sea change.
People want to live in alignment with their core values of non-violence, of compassion. We're teaching them how to do that.
It's all animal agriculture. It's the leading cause of climate change, habitat destruction, wildlife extinction, human world hunger, human disease, animal suffering. Why are we so stupid as a species that we are not realizing this is our number one problem? And so when I see this, I go, we're waking up.
We believe in everybody's ability to change. All of us here standing in this cube were raised eating animals.
You know how it is. Once enough people see the light, everybody sees the light. This is why this Cube of Truth exists, to show people what they don't want to believe. These factory farms are medieval torture chambers. That's what they are.
When you do watch the footage, when you do make the choice to connect, and you hear their screams, and you watch as these babies are taken away from their mothers on the day of their birth, and the mother moans out into the distance over the loss of her stolen child, it changes you in a good way. These tears are worth it. There's no better purpose in life than to make this world a better place, and we are going to win, and it won't take that long.
All right, that was listening to video coverage from YouTube on a Cube of Truth in San Francisco. Organizing our own local Cube of Truth here in Chico is my guest, Jackson Payden Moore. Welcome to the show, Jackson.
Yes, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
Very good. So what is a Cube of Truth? We heard about what the reasons behind it were, which is eliminating animal exploitation. So what is a Cube of Truth? How does it work?
So yeah, good question. It's most people, I think, may have seen this on social media, scrolling through their Facebooks.
I wouldn't say most people have seen it at all. I wouldn't.
Really
just,
interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people I talk to recognize it even just at a glance. It has the anonymous masks, and people are holding screens showing slaughterhouse footage. And they'll stand in a square or a cube, facing out with the anonymous masks and holding the devices or TV monitors showing slaughterhouse footage. And then there's outreach personnel. individuals standing outside the cube that are talking to bystanders and people that walk on up and decide to take a moment to actually bear witness to the slaughterhouse footage. And the outreach personnel will often ask, you know, have you seen this before? And how does this make you feel? And then we'll try to lead them to a vegan conclusion via Socratic questioning. So just asking questions to get them on their own, to get that mental process flowing, get them to recognize that they do fund this industry and that they hold the power in divesting and ending all that needless slaughter.
There you go. Okay. So when you say anonymous mask, you mean like those black and white Guy Fawkes masks?
Exactly.
With the stylized
yep.
mustache and the,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. And have you had any of these? I think you've had one in Chico?
We had two so far.
Two? Okay.
Yeah, and we're trying to shoot for at least one a month, but we'll probably be closer to like two and hopefully even more. They're usually in the downtown City Plaza here in Chico at 4th and Broadway. That seems to be the best spot for foot traffic, but we'll be bouncing all around town. There are some free speech zones in the city. Some of the parks have free speech zones, and there's also the lawn outside the town hall that we might be at.
But what about on campus on Chico State?
I was just going to say, I just recently found out that there's a lawn out there at CSU Chico where you can also do free speech.
Oh, that's stuff. Great. That's great. Okay. So that's what it looks like here. And so how many people have participated? How many people have you touched?
We do take a tally at the end of each demonstration. And overall, it seems like we've probably, just between the two cubes of truth, we've probably had about 15 people. We had about nine, maybe more. We had about nine in our last cube of truth. And that's with eight volunteers taking part.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I listened to one of your conversations that you had posted on your, and I should say, how can people find out about the Cube of Truth and your group? What's the best way for folks to find you?
Usually it's easiest to find us on the AV Chico Facebook page. And you can just sign right up. You don't have to become a volunteer immediately, but we love to encourage you to observe some of the etiquette and the standard protocols that we use when executing the demonstrations. And once you get an idea, a feel for how the Cube of Truth functions, you can kind of come by and observe our demonstrations and hopefully jump on in and start volunteering. It's very simple, no pressure. You can either stand behind a mask and hold a screen, or you could take photos for us and video footage. That's always really helpful. Or you could do outreach. And we do have outreach workshops that we're going to start doing more and more often.
Right. I saw that posted. We will get to that. We can talk about the date and location on that. So right now, when is the next cube?
It's going to be on Black Friday this month, the day after Thanksgiving, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Down there at the Chico City Plaza.
Okay, that's the 29th is a day that lives in the hearts of many animal activists, because that has always been Fur Free Friday. For decades, that has been a day when animal activists have gone out and protested against fur all across the country for probably at least 30 years.
Wow.
So it's nice to tie into that on the, because the fur issue is going away, at least in California. We have a fur ban, which is great. So now we work on the plate.
That's right. Yep, exactly.
Okay. I listened to one of your conversations that you had posted in your group from an earlier cube, and it was just really interesting, because the person you're interacting with had already had quite a bit of knowledge about animal exploitation issues. He had already like even tried being vegetarian for a while, had abstained from meat for a while. So that in my mind seemed to have been an easy conversation.
Sure.
To have. What are the hard conversations like, and how did those go, or have you had any?
Sure, of course. Yeah, most people are so heavily indoctrinated by the culture. I mean, 97% of the global population is still consuming these products, even though we have no reason to, no biological imperative that requires us to consume them. So it's largely to do with breaking the indoctrination, breaking down the conditioning of our culture. And that's, I think, probably the biggest obstacle we face, is people say, well, I've been doing it, and well, it happens, so why stop? And this is just something that we have to do. And a lot of people don't know that they don't need these products for their health.
Okay.
And thanks to all the overwhelming data coming out with documentaries like What the Health and Game Changers, and the great work of so many doctors out there, like, well, you can find it at nutritionfacts.org. People are quickly finding that the myths of you can only get your protein from meat are quickly being dispelled, thanks to all the research. And
yeah, I get that. I do think a lot of people are realizing, it's not quite as necessary as we thought it was, because there's large amounts of federal and state budgets that go to support these industries that then go into either subsidies or they go into the classroom and subsidize education and meal plan. You know, the lunch programs are heavily affected by federal policies. So the hard conversations, just like, do you yell? Do they yell? I mean, is it scary? Or what?
No, you know, we remain peaceful and patient with people. We, you know, try to sympathize with everyone because we've all been in their shoes. Very few people who are vegan have been vegan their entire life. All of us were there at one point because we were born and raised in this culture and on this planet, like I said, which majoritively consumes and exploits animals. So, yeah, we try to always keep that in perspective and understand that everyone is on their own path. And all we can do is plant seeds. Eventually, people are going to have so many seeds planted and so many environmental stimuli that prompt them to be more conscientious about their lifestyle habits and the exploitation of animals, that it's just all going to come toppling down for them in that cognitive process. The cogs are going to start turning, and they're going to start really reflecting on exactly what's on their plate.
That's good. I do think it's a consistent chipping away, starting back with the original definition of the word vegan, which was coined in Britain in like the 40s. So we've come a long way since then, and it's good. And there's lots of easy, accessible options at in supermarkets and through our farmers markets, and slowly but surely restaurants in town are becoming more vegan friendly. That is very good. So how did you become a speaker on this, right? Because you can be a participant behind the mask and be silent, which is sort of an it's hard to make the time to go out and do any kind of activism. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always other things that we'd want to be doing, but we have so much that needs to be changed in the world, not just for the animals, but like for all sorts of civil rights issues and goodness knows there's environmental issues. And what prompts someone to go from the observer, the person who's comfortable at home, comfortable in their own ways, to even like stepping behind the mask and being a silent participant, and then even more being the spokesperson, the guider on these?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the more you observe the horrific reality of what's going on, the more you become inspired to actually step up and take action. And you know, a lot of our volunteers, they rotate through standing behind the mask and doing outreach. Some of them just stay exclusively behind the mask because maybe they're not as comfortable with doing outreach just yet. I've talked to volunteers who are very apprehensive about taking any part in the Cube of Truth because, you know, they just don't feel like they have the courage yet to step up or the knowledge to step up. But even if you were just to come and take photos and share it on social media, that's extremely helpful. Any little thing that we can do nowadays with technology now and social media, it makes it so much easier to be an activist. And of course, there's different echelons and tiers of activism, sure, how involved you can get. But as little as a like and a share and a subscribe, taking photos and distributing them with your friends and family, your immediate social group, that can make exponential change. We just listened to James Aspie talk, and he has a video that reached, I think, 11 million followers, a speech that he gave or a conversation that he had.
Right.
And the number of people that, you know, that changed their lives is insurmountable. You can't even start to fathom how many people that's really going to reach. So you never know what kind of effect you're going to have, but just by stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit and engaging with the public, yeah, I encourage people to do whatever they can, whatever's accessible to them. I try to encourage everyone to take some part and stand up for whatever it is they think is,
sure,
is just.
Sure. Yeah, and even if you don't leave your house and you're a hermit, there's always the keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of us really want to necessarily be doing this. It's just a matter of realizing that we have to. You know, we don't have much of a choice if we want to end the needless bloodshed and the genocide of these innocent creatures that we're dealing with. Of course, you know, we enjoy the moral reward of going out. And for example, another good example of people who give up so much and show the most courage is folks in the SAVE movement, where they go and chain themselves to the slaughterhouse trucks and really bear witness. I mean, these are people that are forfeiting, you know, a lot of their own rights. They're going to have to pay fines now and fees, and they're going to get arrested and spend time in jail. Not everyone has the opportunity to do that, but those that do and actually rise up and step up to the occasion, that's going to make the most change. These are people that obviously don't want to go to the slaughterhouses and bear witness. They love these animals. These are, you know, vegans who maybe love the animals more than a lot of other people on this planet, and they're the ones going out of their way to watch them get slaughtered. That's a really, really hard thing to do. Takes a lot of courage. So, yeah, of course, none of us necessarily want to be doing this, but we all feel like that we have a moral obligation in society to do so.
I think, though, that actually, like, viewing the violence isn't, it can be effective for some people. It can be highly traumatizing for other people. I don't think it's a requirement, but certainly it can be a good nudge, a good reminder of the sacrifice that is caused by your choice to eat and consume animal products.
And I like to encourage people to put themselves in the shoes of the victims. If we were in those trucks and we were the ones being hauled off to slaughter, wouldn't you want someone outside of that truck giving you some food or water, or even just bearing witness to your sacrifice and your suffering, taking photos, again, and sharing it on social media? It's such a productive way to make that change.
All right. You're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM. I've been speaking with Jackson Payden Moore about his upcoming Cube of Truth activism in Chico. And this is just an interesting conversation here. So I understand you're going to be holding a training workshop as another on-ramp for folks interested in participating in a Cube of Truth. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we're going to do an outreach workshop. I forget the exact date. I want to say it's the 24th.
It is Sunday, November 24th.
Sunday, right. Okay. yep, and it's going to be at the Peace and Justice Center. And we're going to talk to people that are not only doing outreach with the Cube of Truth, but anyone who wants to optimize or increase their ability to have these conversations with their friends and family. These conversations are really difficult to have. We can hit a lot of roadblocks and obstacles and reach a lot of conflict and get confrontational at times and frustrated and angry. But when we learn to center ourselves and simply get the other person to think for themselves rather than trying to tell them how to think or force them to make a change, just give them the opportunity with Socratic questioning, just simple matter of, you know, how do you feel about this? And do you think that you can get your nutrients from plants other than, you know, animals and things like that? If you just simply ask questions, it's a really effective way for people to learn how to open the minds of their friends and family. So that's what we focus on the outreach workshop is teaching people those go-to questions, just a line of questioning to get others to think for themselves so you can avoid all those nasty hiccups and confrontation.
Yeah, that sounds very pragmatic. It sounds, even if you're not going to be in a Cube of Truth, it's probably a good set of questions and approaches to have in your tool belt. Just navigating the workplace and the family where you may be the only vegan, right? I mean, it sounds like a good way to get conversation going instead of stonewalling confrontation going, mm-hmm. which is all too easy to get into in so many different aspects of life. Okay. Yeah, so let's see. My notes show that is going to be on November 24th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. That's great. That's nice to see that the Peace and Justice Center helping out on that and providing a space for this type of work mm-hmm. To happen. Okay. So going back to the example encounter in a Cube of Truth, I noticed that at the end, when you got to the end of your conversation, you handed the person a business card and asked them to sign up for the 22 Days to Vegan program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so
And who puts that on? Like, so how is this chapter connected evidently to like a larger network of activists?
Sure. So every AV group will have the same cards that they hand out to people.
Okay, and AV is Anonymous for the Voiceless?
Yep, exactly. Okay. So those cards will have a list of resources, common go-to resources like What the Health documentary, other documentaries on Netflix, and Gary Yourofsky's very popular speech on YouTube that has turned so many people vegan. But it also has a 22-day vegan resource that will help you get a free mentor online and walk you through. You can ask them any question you want, and they'll walk you through how to not only optimize your health, but have that easy transition from the foods you're eating now into cruelty-free versions of those foods. And it's, you can find it at challenge22.com. It's just an online resource. And Anonymous for the Voiceless changed their link to vegan22.com because they don't like showing people that, or sending the message that it's challenging at all, because it really isn't. Even though it is a 22-day vegan challenge.
Oh, gotcha. I see.
We promote it as vegan22.com because it's just a great resource to show how easy it really is to optimize your health and save the animals and the environment all at once within that 22 days. And it only takes a few days to kick a habit. So a lot of people don't know that these foods, meat, dairy, and eggs, can be highly addictive, and your body becomes very dependent on them, even though they're not good for you at all. Once you stop using them, it's very much like smoking cigarettes. A cigarette smoker may quit smoking cigarettes for about a week. They might backslide and have a cigarette, and they'll go, oh my gosh, that cigarette made me feel so much better. Even though we know that cigarette's not necessarily good for them, but it's just because their body got so used to taking it in so frequently that it made them feel a little bit better. So yeah, we like to encourage people to stick with that 22 days. And then after that, you know, of course, they can always find so many other resources if they're having trouble sticking
with it. But yeah, sadly, we do know there's a lot of vegan recidivism out there. Mm-hmm. But if you are one of those recidivists, if you've tried being vegan and couldn't stick with it, try it again. Just be patient with yourself. But yeah, 22 days is a good period of time to kick a habit. And so, all right. And so tell me, or if you know, about the greater like global Anonymous for the Voiceless activity and activism that's going on. I looked it up. I think Anonymous for the Voiceless itself is a registered nonprofit in Australia. So mm-hmm. is this a line of advocacy and activism that originates from folks over there?
Yep. There were two individuals in particular that started Anonymous for the Voiceless. They actually worked with Gary Yourofsky originally to try to figure out a method that would be most effective in opening people's minds, something that was easy, that people could do at their local level with minimal resources, but also could have a wide network around the globe. And that's when they came up with the Cube of Truth, this artistic installation, the street performance installation. And after that, it blew up. It's only been going for a few years, and we already have well over 1,000 different chapters all around the planet. I think I just saw one started in Berkeley, I want to say. But yeah, all over, they're springing up left and right. So yeah, it's as simple as going to the Anonymous for the Voiceless website and saying, I want to be an organizer, or I want to start a chapter in my own hometown. And you go through a quick orientation process and they give you the resources.
That's great. Ahead. Yeah, I actually did do some sleuthing because I do some of my homework before these shows. So there are chapters in Grass Valley. There's a chapter in and there's a chapter in Reading, and of course there's a chapter here in Chico. So there's always room for more chapters, and there's also a chapter in Sacramento that's been quite active. That I've seen that group hold quite a few cubes of truth and been going strong. So I'm glad to see Chico's stepping up. And clearly there are people who are passionate and want to do more, and the Cube of Truth is a way for folks to get their feet wet with animal advocacy in mm-hmm. a powerful way, and you know, start planting those seeds. Or there's an old activist named Howard Lyman, the Mad Cowboy, and his metaphor is layers of paint. You need to put 7 layers of paint on something to completely cover it, and mm-hmm. so each encounter is a layer of paint.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. What is your background? What led you to this kind of activism, Jackson Payden Moore?
Well, it was only a few years ago that I watched an interview with Moby, the musician and vegan. And in that interview, they had shown just a few minutes of slaughterhouse footage, and right after that talked about how we're not actually biologically omnivorous, which I had always thought we were, because that's what you learn in school, that you need these things to be healthy. And so that myth was dispelled instantly when they presented some of the data, and I realized, well, if I don't need this for my health, then there's no moral justification for what's happening in the slaughterhouses. And I always said that I loved animals. I loved my pets. You know, I loved my animal companions, my cats and my dogs. But then, of course, I was going and paying for the immediate suffering and torture and mutilation of other innocent animals that were just as sentient and had just as much of a right and a will to survive. So that's what started me on veganism. I had spent a few months just vegetarian. I hadn't looked that much into the dairy industry and the horrific effects of that.
Oh, yeah.
But once I did, quickly changed my lifestyle. There wasn't many products that I was getting, but just cut them out and replaced them with some almond milk and things like that. It was so easy.
And you lived to tell the tale of your conversion of veganism.
Right, that's right. And I had seen videos of James Aspie on YouTube and folks like Earthling Ed and Joey Carbstrong. And I saw them doing Cube of Truth events and was really curious about it. So eventually at one point I went to Portland to see James Aspie give a couple different speeches. And amidst those speeches, he was also helping out with some Cube of Truth events. And I got to go by and observe those from afar up in Oregon. And when I came back, I thought, I need to do something like this. I'm surprised we don't have this already in Chico. We got to do it instantly. So
absolutely. I think college towns are ripe for this type of activism. Mm-hmm, absolutely ripe. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Jackson Payton Moore? Uh-huh. Organizer of the Cube of Truth and Anonymous for the Voiceless here in Chico?
Not that I can really think of. I'm really inspired by our community of Chico. I've been going out and doing some of my own activism, just setting up a table around town, whether in the plaza or at the campus, that says, everyone should be vegan, prove me wrong, and trying to get people to come in who are very obstinate and think they have the most information on why we shouldn't be vegan to actually sit down and have a conversation. And I've been really, really inspired. I'm impressed by how open-minded and sweet everyone that I've talked to in the city of Chico is. I think once most people actually witness the footage, witness what they're paying for, the slaughterhouse footage, they quickly are able to make that change and make that connection to what's on their plate.
That's good. And it helps if they have the right guide to ask the right questions once that video is in their head, mm-hmm. kind of thing, because that's good. All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Perhaps we'll have you back on to, as the months go by and you start getting bigger cubes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Again, check out that AV Chico Facebook group. Hopefully we're going to start growing exponentially.
Very good. Yeah, I will post a link to that group on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page, and we'll get that accessible to more people.
Thanks so much, Jeannie. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Great. We've been speaking with Jackson Payton Moore about his upcoming Cube of Truth activism in Chico. Thank you again for being my guest. All right, now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events. All right, get ready to mark your calendars. We're going to find out what's going on around town. Okay. Tonight, November 13th, is Wagon Wednesday, a benefit night for the Friends of the Chico Animal Shelter. From 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Secret Trail Brewing Company, a portion of proceeds will go to the Friends of the Chico Animal Shelter, which provides shelter animals needed veterinary care. Dogs are welcome to attend. For more information, please go to the Friends of the Chico Animal Shelter webpage at friendsofthechicoanimalshelter.com. Tomorrow, Near and Dear Vegan Baked Goods will be holding a pop-up vegan event on Thursday, November 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Naked Lounge in Chico. The vegan pop-up will feature soups made from local produce and a side of focaccia. For more information, go to the Naked Lounge website at www.nakedloungechico.com. And before we run out of time, I have to say that Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water, and you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with to-go and catering available. For more info, you can find them at iloveohmfoods.com and on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924.